We'll talk about the message that was sent on Tuesday in the midterm elections and what the Republican gains in Congress will mean for the country. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November 7th. We continue our post-election coverage with a guest political scientist this hour by looking at the national political landscape now and the battles that already seem to be shaping up on Obamacare and immigration. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions, your hopes and your fears at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Happy to have with us Tim Hagel, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. He is also a faculty advisor to the University of Iowa College Republicans. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's talk about the message that was sent on Tuesday. What do you think the message was?
Well, the message seemed to be, as I guess once all the counting's done, is that folks were not happy with President Obama's agenda. Some people were suggesting that it was more of an anti-incumbent message, but very few incumbent Republicans lost their seats. And the Republicans did very well in governor's offices, which they were actually expected to lose, but they picked up several governor seats, three at least, which was more than, like I say, they were expected to lose seats. They got control of the Senate. They made gains in the House and in several state legislatures. So it seems that people are looking for a change in direction, which is not entirely surprising in the sixth year of a president's term, regardless of who the president is.
Right. I wanted to ask that. I mean, don't presidents get a thumping during midterms usually?
They usually do. You can go back quite a ways and see that that sixth year is usually when you see some sort of a change. And it's a combination of just a general itch, something people call it the six-year itch, on the part of the electorate after 6 years of a president's administration. And sometimes it's part of the administration's problem, too, because they often just get tired that after a president wins re-election to get a second term, then a lot of the top people start leaving their positions, and the president maybe is starting to look more towards legacy than necessarily continuing to advance policy agenda. And so you just get that change that often occurs. Not always, but more often than not.
Well, let's take a listen to what President Obama had to say following the elections and the big GOP gains.
To everyone who voted, I want you to know that I hear you. To the two-thirds of voters who chose not to participate in the process yesterday, I hear you too.
So what do you hear in that statement?
You know, it's interesting, and you hear different people analyzing that different ways. And in one respect, you hear people saying, well, if he hears the two people or the two-thirds of the people that didn't vote, what is it that he hears from them? Does he hear that they're still with him because they didn't vote against him, or does he hear that they just didn't care enough to vote and because what he's doing isn't important enough to them? And that's what remains to be seen. And he did seem, you know, rather defiant in his speech the other day when he gave that speech. And so we're still sort of waiting to see, you know, what's he going to do, and in particular on the immigration issue, but on other issues as well. Will he work with the new leadership in the Senate, or will he basically go it on his own, which we've seen him do in some of the other executive actions that he's taken?
He did, in essence, say he was going to use executive action on immigration reform, didn't he?
He did.
And what exactly would that mean? What is he planning on doing via executive action?
Well, that is the big question, isn't it? Before the elections, he said that he was going to take some sort of executive action dealing with immigration, given that it had been bottled up in Congress before the end of the summer. And then all of a sudden, we had a huge surge of unaccompanied children that came in over the summer, and there was basically concern over how to deal with them and what was going to happen. And so the Democrats kind of dropped that as an issue that they were going to push during the midterm elections. And then the president decided, well, maybe I should wait till after the midterm elections to make my decision, which now apparently is going to come within a month or so before the end of the year. And so we just don't know what he's going to do. And that's the big question. Is he going to go for a complete amnesty of all of the folks that are here currently that aren't documented or illegal, depending on how you want to phrase it? Or will he do something different than try to work with Congress? And in one instance, McConnell has, the Senate Majority Leader to be, Mitch McConnell, or at least we assume so, has already said that if the president goes as far as amnesty for all these folks, that it's going to not be a pretty sight, and it basically would be a provoking action on the part of the president to Congress. And so we just kind of have to see how far the president's willing to go, which in his, for his perspective, he said he's going to go as far as the law allows him to. So we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, so on one hand, there was, the president is saying, I'm willing to partner with Republicans, but he's ticking them off by saying he's going to use executive action on immigration reform.
Right. Sometimes what you get for politicians, I'm not speaking specifically to the president here, but a lot of times they say, when they say I'm willing to work with, what they mean is you should come to my position, not necessarily that I'm going to go to your position or compromise. But, you know, the model, of course, is President Bill Clinton, where once he got a thumping in the 1994 elections, he was able to work with the Republican leaders of Congress and get things done, including some things that didn't exactly make his base happy at the time, but proved to help give him things that on his record that he has done, put things on his resume as accomplishments that people look back on now and say, wow, he was pretty effective as a president who didn't have control of Congress to get legislation through. So that's the question for President Obama as to whether he's, again, going to be willing to work with members of Congress or if he's willing to go it alone and just fight with Congress for the next 2 years.
The president also said that he was open to, I think he said, productive changes or positive changes to the Affordable Care Act, but he said it will not be repealed. He would veto any attempt to repeal Obamacare. But then yesterday, House Speaker John Boehner said the House will vote to repeal Obamacare. So we're going to see this happen all over again.
Well, I think we might. That was one of the things that many Republicans ran on in both the House and the Senate, and they got a majority. So for Republicans' view, they have a mandate basically, and it would be problematic for them in some cases if they didn't at least bring that to a vote. But on the other hand, they have to realize that if they do in fact manage to pass something and even get it through the Senate, which Democrats still have a large minority there, so it's still going to be a problem. But if they get something along those lines on the president's desk, well, obviously he's going to veto it. And Republicans won't have enough votes in Congress to override a veto. So at that point, then maybe they're approach would have to be, all right, we tried it, we held to our campaign promise, we couldn't do that, so now let's start working on the fixes, which may be their end game anyway, is to say, okay, well, let's really get at some of these problems. Of course, along those lines, the president also identified a number of aspects of Obamacare, including the individual mandate, which is one of the things that I'm sure Republicans would like to fix, but again, that sort of fix would get vetoed by the president.
Yeah. We are talking about the after effects, the aftermath of the midterm elections and what we can expect from Washington, D.C., and welcoming your questions. Do you think that Tuesday's elections were a referendum on President Obama's policies or not? What would you like to see in the next year when it comes to policies and or cooperation between the president and a GOP-controlled Congress? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Tim Hagel, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. He is also a faculty advisor to the University of Iowa College Republicans. And we are talking about issues that are on the national political landscape now that Republicans have racked up huge election wins in the midterm elections. President Obama says he's willing to partner with Republicans, but he's vowing to use executive action on immigration reform. The president says he's open to some changes to the Affordable Care Act, but would veto any attempt to repeal it. Yet House Speaker John Boehner says that the House will vote to repeal it. Meanwhile, incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says his first duty is to get the Senate back to work.
The first thing I need to do is to get the Senate back to normal. That means working more.
Well, what does he mean, get the Senate back to working more, Tim Hagel?
Well, probably what he's referring to there is something different than what we've seen over the last couple of years, that it seems that as the House Republicans at least have regularly complained about, is that they would pass a variety of bills that would go to the Senate to die, that the current Majority Leader Harry Reid, Senator Harry Reid from Nevada, has basically killed or stalled or frozen, however you want to phrase it, legislation coming out of the House, such that anything that might not agree with President Obama's agenda, the president hasn't had to actually veto anything. That basically the Harry Reid is running interference for the president, and that means that nothing's really getting done. And Republicans in the Senate have regularly complained about how few things they've had an opportunity to vote on, amendments on the minimal legislation that actually does get through and so forth. And so I think what McConnell's talking about there is being able to get a variety of bills through, working with the House to consolidate the bills and get the same language, and then get things on the president's desk. And then the president, of course, has that choice to either sign or veto. And so that's one of the keys, actually, is to see what the president's going to do in terms of, as I was saying before, working with Congress to fashion legislation to his liking, or at least that he can maybe even begrudgingly sign, or whether he's just going to say, okay, it's not what I like, so I'm going to veto it.
Well, the Republicans won at least 7 Senate seats to give them 52, and could pick up a couple more that are still pending because of runoffs and other issues. What do we know about the GOP makeup here? Is this a conservative majority or a more establishment Republican majority?
Well, it's a combination of things, and you have to break it down in terms of some of the individuals, and it's a little hard to say for some folks as far as the new people coming in, particularly as to really how conservative they are. I know that at least here, say in the Iowa race, that Democrats worked very hard to peg Joni Ernst, our senator-elect, as being extreme and Tea Party and so forth, but she was supported by a broad swath of Republicans. And yes, she did get Sarah Palin's endorsement, but also got the endorsement of Mitt Romney, and so many were picking her, or referring to her here in Iowa as a full-spectrum Republican, which, you know, kind of leaning a little towards the mainstream side of things. But we'll have to wait and see, because she has no record in Congress. She was a state senator, and the same is going to be true for a number of other senators. We kind of have to wait and see exactly how conservative they tend to be. But what you are seeing more broadly is that both parties are, in some sense, becoming more, I hate to use the word extreme here, but it's sort of further from the middle, in the sense that some of the easy pickings for either party, the moderate folks, are the ones that are getting defeated. So you do have folks that may be a little more intense, shall we say, in their rhetoric, and we'll have to see if they're able to overcome that to a certain extent and find areas of compromise once they get sworn into office.
Boy, it is interesting. Your state, Iowa, elects a Republican senator for a seat that liberal Democrat Tom Harkin had for 30 years.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, until Senator Harkin actually leaves office at the end of the year, that Iowa's two senators had the longest combined tenure in the U.S. Senate right now. And it sort of goes to show why Iowa is still a purple state, even though it's gone for the Democratic nominee in presidential races more often than not of the last several. But it's Iowa's voter registration is almost dead even between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans have a very slight lead right now. And it's the no-party voters, are what we call them, not Iowa the independents, or we call them the no-party voters. And they're always the decide the elections. And they like incumbents. And pretty much once you get elected, you're in for a long time. And, in fact, if Senator Harkin had decided not to retire, he undoubtedly would have won re-election. But as an open seat in a six-year election, it gave Republicans an opportunity to get that seat. We'll have to see then in 6 years whether Joni Ernst is able to get reelected, but history suggests that she probably will be.
All right, well, I better get to some calls. Randy in Madison is with us first. Hi, Randy.
How are you doing?
Good. What do you think of all this?
It's a mess, but it can be fixed. Yes, there is a Republican majority in both the Senate and the House, but Obama has been voted again in 2012. Both must work together in the next 2 years to get anything done. I doubt it, especially with the Tea Party. They want nothing to do with Obama and hopes his legendary future is zilch. Now, Obama's going to do a mandate, no matter what may or may not happen. Between now and January, the Senate voted in the spring of an immigration law, and that's what he wants.
And so I'm sorry, what do you mean? So what do you mean by a Band-Aid in Obama on immigration?
Well, the Senate, both the Republicans and the Democrats, voted for an immigration bill that passed. But the House Tea Party said absolutely not. And a lot of these Tea Party people that are from the country don't see any worthwhile thing anyways with immigration.
All right, so how about that argument, if the Congress isn't going to do something about immigration reform, which is sorely needed, the president has no choice but to do something, Professor Hagel?
Well, that certainly was the case that President Obama was looking to make prior to the election results. The question at this point might be, well, if Republicans control the Senate, now you've got the same party in control. Can they get something through? And yes, the Senate had previously passed something, but it was too far, and many Republicans in the House saw it as an amnesty type of bill. Now, whether it was or not, that's a kind of an arguable point, because certainly some members of the Senate said, no, that's not what it is. It's something less than that. But again, the House Republicans didn't see it that way. So now with Republicans in control of the Senate as well, perhaps that would mean that they can at least get some kind of immigration reform onto the president's desk. Now, if it's not everything he wants, would he still be willing to sign it on the theory of, well, half a glass or half a loaf is better than no loaf at all kind of a thing? On the other hand, we have heard, as we were talking about before, the president saying that he wants to do something along the lines of immigration before the end of the year, which means before the new Congress comes into power, gets sworn in January. So, you know, is he willing to wait, or is he going to sort of jump the gun at this point before the new Congress even has an opportunity to act? And if he does act, and this is sort of a different aspect from what we were talking about before, if he does act, it's kind of throwing down the gauntlet, so to speak, saying, look, I don't care the fact that you folks, Republicans, got control of the Senate. I'm going to do what I'm going to do regardless of whatever you do.
Rick in Sheboygan is with us next. Hello, Rick.
Hey, hi. Let's continue this conversation on the immigration, if we could. I think I'm seeing it a little differently. There is one narrative that says this is an ideological debate between the Conservative Party and the Democratic Party, and that Obama's going to get something done before the end of the year. But I'm intrigued by analysis in the last few days saying that the Republicans have made, in many of the races that they won, they've made surprising gains in the Hispanic communities around the country, and that in order to win the presidency in 2016, the Republicans are going to have to continue to make gains with the Hispanic community, And I'm wondering if this whole debate is not an ideological debate now. It's about which of the parties gets to use that mantle of immigration leadership when it comes time to start making the presidential campaigns. And my belief is that Obama wants to do something by the end of the year as a way of taking away that PR value from the Republicans. Ultimately, I think this is a bonanza for immigration reform, because either way, I think the forces are lining up to make gains. I think it's now just a political issue as to who gets credit for it. Thoughts on that?
Thank you very much. We just have a minute before a news break, so brief thoughts on that, Professor Hagel.
Oh man, brief thoughts.
Well, we can pick up after news.
You know, it's always a political game, and I think the caller is right in the sense that people are looking forward to 2016. Obviously not so much Obama. He's not going to get reelected, although he certainly would like to have Democrats succeed him in office. But I think his bigger concern at this point is going to be legacy. And, yeah, Republicans would like to get something done, too. The question is what? And it's going to probably be different, at least initially, than what the president wants to get done.
We are talking with Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa, and he is talking with us about the midterm elections and what it means for the country now that following these big GOP wins on Tuesday. What now for the United States in terms of politics and policy? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are discussing national politics in the aftermath of Tuesday's elections, which gave Republicans big wins, including control of the U.S. Senate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, November 7th. Our guest is Tim Hagel. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa, faculty advisor to the University of Iowa College Republicans. We are getting his analysis, and we welcome yours and your questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Just before our news break, we heard from a caller who mentioned, Tim Hagel, that he heard Republicans did better with Hispanic voters during the midterms. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. I heard the same thing, that they basically had improved by about 10% in terms of the Hispanic vote. And to follow up on what the caller was saying and sort of looking, the idea there was that it was looking forward to 2016, and so both parties will want to do what they can to increase their share, for the Democrats maintain their share, grow it back. And it's an interesting question, because it depends on who you're appealing to. That there are some studies that show, surveys maybe, that show that Hispanics that are here legally often don't want some kind of amnesty, a blanket kind of amnesty for the people that are here illegally or in an undocumented way. And so it's a little unclear as to sort of what the effect would be. And that's why, in a certain sense, Republicans need to be careful in terms of how they approach the issue. I think that what the Republicans have largely been pushing has been some sort of border control or border security, and once that's taken care of, then it would probably suggest that there would have to be some way that the people that are here, and the number varies, but it could be as high as 11 million, how to deal with them in a way that's appropriate. And, of course, the key is what's considered appropriate.
Let's go to Laura in Madison now. Hello, Laura.
Well, I wanted to talk about immigration, but moreover, I'm wondering, I've heard so much about things that are going to be done away with. You know, I don't like this plan, I don't like that plan. Has anybody come up with a plan? Anyone who was elected, did they have a plan on how to, quote, close the border? I haven't heard any such plan. Has anybody come up with an alternative for Obamacare that's going to cover the uninsured? I haven't heard any details. Well, did we run on some actual issues here, or did we just run on a negativity platform.
All right, Tim Hagel.
Unfortunately, in large measure, there tends to be a lot of negativity in elections these days. And it kind of goes back, and I'm shifting gears a little bit here, but I'll come back to the main point, that everybody complains about negative advertising, but everybody also knows that it works, at least up to a point. At a certain point, people get fed up with it, or sometimes a negative ad can cross the line. And that negativity isn't just on one side. Now, depending on your political leanings, you may think it's the other side that does more of it than your side, but believe me, both sides do plenty of it, and of course it depends a lot on the particular race, who's the incumbent, who's the challenger, and so forth. As far as particular plans, if you dig down, you can find some, but even when you get individual candidates running, it's a little hard for them to propose a particular plan, because if they're just one member of the House or one member of the Senate, they still have to work with the other members of their party to try to get something through or something cobbled together, and different people in different parts of the country have different interests and different priorities. So that's why it's a little difficult to figure out, well, what do one party or another, in this particular instance, Republicans, since now they control both chambers, what do they want to do with immigration? What do they want to do with Obamacare? Well, with immigration, you hear a lot of Republicans talking about some sort of fence, but other people saying, well, that's not going to work. But it could work in certain areas. In other areas, increasing the number of people on the border and actually allowing them to enforce the laws that we even have on the books now. So that's one thing, but if they try it and it fails, then you know that may cause Republicans to rethink the issue and try some other method, whatever it happens to be. With Obamacare, you've heard them talk about repealing certain aspects of it, if not the whole thing, which, as we were talking about before, seems unlikely given that the president can veto any full repeal of the law. So then that's when they would start tinkering with it and trying to correct some of the problems that they feel exist, and that's where we just aren't sure what's going to happen at this point.
Dave in Menominee says in an email, the Republicans worked very hard for 6 years stopping, blocking, filibustering anything Obama wanted to do. We won't give Obama a win, in quotation marks, is what we heard for years. Nothing will happen over the next 2 years. Republicans will just try to make it look like the president is the obstructionist. The Democrat has tried to work with Republicans for years. He would hold his hand out over and over just to have it slapped back with a fist. A reaction to that.
Well, that's certainly the president's position, although does the rhetoric match the action on the part of the president? From the Republicans' point of view, they don't see it that way, and that's no surprise. You can kind of make the same argument for a good chunk of President George W. Bush's time in office, especially after the last 2 years where the Democrats had won control of both chambers and again, a six-year itch kind of election. And it made it pretty difficult for him to get anything else done. Of course, at that point, as I was saying before, the administration was pretty tired and looking to get out anyway, so it was not like they were pushing real hard. As far as Republicans, they've been looking to not agree with President Obama on the policy sorts of things. Some people suggest that, well, that makes it personal and they bring in a race issue. I don't think so. I think it's more the policy aspect that a lot of the things that the president has wanted to do were just things that were not in the comfort zone of Republicans. And again, using the Bill Clinton example, he basically is a more natural politician than President Obama is. And Clinton was able to find ways to work with the Republicans, and as I was saying, even in ways that sometimes angered his own base, but then when you give the Republicans a win maybe in one area, then they're willing to give you a win in another area where they're a little bit out of their comfort zone. So that's the kind of a thing that we might be waiting to see here in terms of the last 2 years, but again, there's also a possibility that nothing else gets done. But if nothing gets done, that hurts the Republicans because they've been complaining about nothing getting done, as well as the Democrats have, and, well, this is their shot to do something. And so if they don't, then it can be seen as a fail for them.
Let's go to Sally in Alma next. Hello, Sally.
Hi, how are you? I think they're going to do wonderful things this Congress because the House sent over so many bills, and Harry Reid stuck them under a piece of paper, and they never took an up-and-down vote on them. And so for people to be blaming solely the Republicans why things are not going to get done is not true. I think the Democrats We'll work with the Republicans, and we're going to see great things. I personally believe, though, with this bill, President Obama is going to come out before the Congress turns Republican, and he's going to jam through some amnesty bill. I can see that coming. And I was very dismayed that he came out, and instead of it was actually all these people voting was an indictment against President Obama's policies. It wasn't a real dislike for the Democratic candidate. Did you see how everyone ran away from him? And I think he's going to come, and I'll apologize if I'm wrong, but he's going to, before January comes in, jam through an executive thing, some amnesty thing, and that's really going to alienate the American people. And I think that he really, I don't blame it on all the Democrats, but I do blame this election on the fact that the PR involved with him. He goes out and plays golf, and the guy gets beheaded, and then he never got our poor Marine back from Mexico. I just saw that last night. That was so sad to me. I cried thinking about this Marine rotting in a Mexican jail. He did one thing after another that was wrong, and that's what the people voted against. And I'm going to tell you one other thing, which I think is very funny. I think that Vice President Biden had the guy in Kansas, the Republican, get elected. He came right out and said the independent was going to vote with the Democrats. Well, then they sent out a million things saying Biden's vote, and then the guy won by 10 points. So I think they're going to accomplish great things. I think both the Democrats and the Republicans are going to do great, great things, and I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you very much, Sally. All right, well, lots to talk about here, but is the Republican Congress going to be able to achieve great, great things? What great, great things do you think could be achieved?
Well, it's refreshing to hear the caller's optimism that, you know, maybe you're not going to agree with whatever they get done, but the optimism in terms of getting something done is kind of good. As we were saying before, that the House has passed a number of bills, in particular jobs bills, things to get the economy going, and I'll just focus on that quickly. The idea that we are recovering, and President Obama has mentioned that, it's true, but it's an incredibly slow recovery. And that's one of the things that people just aren't feeling right now, even though the unemployment number is down, but so many people have left the workforce, that's one of the reasons that the number is down, and these other sorts of things that they just haven't resonated with people. And Republicans have passed a number of bills in the House to try to get things going, and as the caller indicated, they've more or less died in the Senate. And so now we'll probably see those things at least get through. And so maybe some of the more contentious things won't be happening, but maybe some of the other things might start happening, and maybe that'll open the floodgates, so to speak. Now, maybe not everybody's going to be happy with what gets done, but at least something's getting done.
Yeah, so what Sally says that this President Obama doing some sort of executive action on amnesty or immigration is going to cause lots of trouble and alienation. I mean, what do you expect to happen there?
Well, what we expect to happen, I guess it depends on what the president does in terms of what that reaction will be. If he does, in fact, just more or less grant blanket amnesty to the, again, how many ever million, 11 million or whatever it happens to be, folks that are here already, then you will probably see a very sharp reaction. And not just on the part of Congress. I think a lot of people would ultimately be very upset with that. But the upside to it is that, okay, people are upset now, but will they be upset in 2 years when you have another election and it won't be President Obama on the ticket? So that will be sort of a thing that he gets done potentially, and even to the extent that he probably gets sued by Congress, will it be considered what the phrase people use is impeachment bait? Is he going to try to bait the Congress into trying to impeach him, which he would be able to use politically perhaps for his advantage, much like President Clinton did? And so it could be just a real mess for the next 2 years, very, very ugly kind of situation. On the other hand, if the president is willing to work with Congress to a certain extent and fashion something, then maybe it won't be as broad a reaction, but it would be something that won't cause that reaction on the part of both Congress and the public.
We're talking with Tim Hagel, an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. We are breaking down the midterm election results when it comes to the U.S. Senate and for that matter, governorships around the country. We'll talk a little bit more about 2016 when we come back. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are doing a postmortem on the election results this hour with a focus on the national implications. We are talking about what do we expect now for the country, for Washington, D.C., for Congress working with the president now that the Republicans have picked up big wins in the midterm elections, including the political control of the U.S. Senate. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. All right, so much to talk about, so little time. Tim Hagel, let me get you first to react to what we've heard some guests say, explaining away the election results. You said, and many are saying, that the election results were a referendum on President Obama's policies and that people were rejecting President Obama's policies. Others are saying that the Democratic voter just stayed home, or many of the Democratic voters just stayed home, and that 2016 will be a much different story. What's your analysis of that?
Both, to a certain extent. One of the things, and I know that Democrats have talked about this, and they work really hard. President Obama mentioned it, and we saw this, in, at least that I saw it in races here in Iowa, where Democrats were working very hard on their turnout machine, claiming that Democrats didn't vote in midterm elections. And that's true to a certain extent, but it's true of people that are registered as Republicans, people that are registered as independents, whatever they call them in any particular state. I've looked at the voter turnout here in Iowa, and the turnout drops in midterm elections for everybody, regardless of the party. It almost is exactly the same for Republicans and Democrats. As I mentioned before, Republicans have a slight voter registration edge here in Iowa, and they do tend to turn out at a little bit higher percentage, 2 or 3 percentage points, but they dropped pretty substantially in midterm elections too, with the exception of 2010, where Democrats dropped a little bit more than Republicans. But it's the independent voters where you have that really big drop, and those are the folks that both parties have to identify their supporters among the independents and get them to turn out. And so there was a lot of work along those lines in these elections. But everybody also recognizes that the presidential election year brings out many more voters from both Republicans, Democrats, and the independents, or, you know, minor parties in the states that have them. So that's part of it. But on the other hand, the sixth-year itch is usually a referendum on the president's policies. And to a certain extent, the people of the president's party would like to usually run away from him and not make it about the presidential agenda, but make it about current or local politics and state issues, whatever it happens to be. And that was true in 2006, and President Bush didn't do a whole lot of campaigning in any races that were close, and the Democrats still had a great year in terms of winning so many seats in both houses of Congress. And this year we saw where, again, even President Obama more or less made the mistake of saying, well, I may not be on the ballot, but my policies are. And that's exactly what the Democrats in most districts did not want to hear, and it hurt them because it was used in many advertisements against them. So it's that combination of both things that really determines what happens in the midterms.
Governor Walker's victory speech here in Wisconsin included a lot of national references, including, further raising speculation that he's going to run for president in 2016. Is this your sense?
Well, it's hard to say at this point who is and who isn't going to run. We saw a lot of visits by people that other people are speculating maybe 2016 presidential candidates, and Governor Walker is certainly one of them. He, of course, had his own close race to run, so he couldn't come into Iowa and do too much of that campaigning for the candidates that we have here and helping out, but he certainly has been here before and made a visit, and especially now that the election is won. If he hadn't won the election, he probably would have been out of contention, but as having won again in a state that seems going Democratic more often than not, It's and sort of challenging the status quo in a variety of areas that Republicans are interested in, that it certainly puts him in line, and we'll have to wait and see if he has more national ambitions or if he has still goals that he wants to reach within Wisconsin before moving on to another stage.
The Iowa caucuses are, what, 14 months away?
Pretty close.
If Walker or anyone is serious about a presidential run, when should they be, shaking hands in Iowa?
January. Don't come until January. Give us a break. Actually, again, to some extent, some people have already begun that process. The person who was the former head of the Republican Party in Iowa was hired away by one of Rand Paul's PACs, and so we've seen he's likely to run. It looks like Chris Christie probably will run. So those are the two I would say that it's more likely than not that they are going to enter the race. But for a lot of other people, we don't know. And so they have to, depending on how well-known a particular person is, they probably need to get here earlier. And I was kidding, but January really is about the time when we're likely to see some people making some moves along those lines. We have seen people come into the race late, but sometimes that hasn't been to their advantage because they haven't been well prepared or are just too far behind. But the bigger your name, so to speak, the longer you can probably wait. We may see that for the Democrats and Hillary Clinton, although it looks pretty certain at this point that she probably is going to run, although not 100%, and some other Democrats that, if depending on what Hillary does, they may jump in, and they'll probably jump in quicker because their name recognition is as high. For the Republicans, we've got a number of people that have very high name recognition, somebody like Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, and so forth. And Scott Walker's kind of in the middle there as a governor of a neighboring state that he's probably pretty well-known, particularly in the northeast part of Iowa, maybe a little less well-known in other parts. So he would need to get here fairly soon just to be able to get that ground game together.
You know, Claren Baraboo says she noticed that there were many referenda on liberal policies like the minimum wage that were widely supported around the nation, here in Wisconsin too. Yet she says we voted for politicians that are unlikely to pass those policies. What's the deal with that, Tim Hagel?
In part, it has to do with priorities. I know here in Iowa, the minimum wage issue was one that, in particular, the Senate campaign and Democrat Bruce Braley was pushing very hard, and often would talk about how I think the figure was something like 50% of Iowans support the increase in the minimum wage and so forth. But it wasn't high on people's list of priorities, even for younger people, many of whom are probably working minimum wage. And, of course, I'm on a college campus, so I'm seeing where, yeah, there are probably some of them working. In fact, some are probably not even working at minimum wage because the market is such that they're making above that, even that 10-10. But their priorities are things like, well, how am I going to get my degree? How am I going to get a job when the job market is so tough for younger people? How am I going to then pay off my student loans? And so minimum wage is kind of way down the list. And this is true not just for younger people, but others as well. So, yeah, maybe a majority of the population in any given state would like to see that, but that's not their first worry.
30 seconds. The president meets with House Republican legislative leaders this afternoon. Do you think there's going to be a screaming match, or will it be civil?
Oh, I think it'll be civil. I can't imagine that they would break down into any kind of screaming match, but I would say it would probably be warm or cold rather than warm.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Brianne Chasso for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. More talk about politics and the election results and aftermath coming up in our Week in Review in our next hour. This is the Ideas Network.